As I look out this morning, I know many of you were very concerned about how you look to come to services this morning. Some more than others, probably. Looked in the mirror to check our appearance. You know, you wanted to see if the clothes matched, if things were coordinated, if they were clean, if they needed to be ironed. And that's important. It's important how we look. However, there's something far more important to God. God is concerned about our appearance, but even more so, He's concerned about how we adorn the doctrine of God. How we adorn the doctrine of God. Paul addresses this issue in a very clear manner in our text this morning. We've been studying from the book of Colossians, and we're now into chapter 3 in that book. And our text this morning is going to come from just three verses, and that's verses 12 through 14, where we are told we need a new wardrobe. He had just talked about in that chapter prior to this about how Christians are to seek those things that are above. Look for those things that are above, the spiritual things, the things that are really important. Well, now he gets very specific in telling us about this new wardrobe. Beginning in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Now, he had just before this talked about things that we needed to put to death. Back in verse 5, he said, "Put to death your members which are on earth, fornication and uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Then he says, you've got to put off all these things, the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Don't lie to one another. So there were things that we had to put off. And now he says there are things we are to put on. But notice how he begins that. He says, we are the elect of God. Christians, when you look around and see each other, we are very, very special. God says we're His special possession, His prized possession. Of all the people in the world, Christians are God's unique gift. Unique possession in a way that no other people are. That's how special Christians are. We are chosen ones. We become the chosen ones when we choose Christ. He says that we are holy. We're set apart. We have a specific function. When we become a Christian, we now have a new responsibility. We're consecrated. Sanctified is kind of an Old Testament word, but it means the same thing. Just as certain individuals and certain pieces of equipment and furniture were sanctified for holy purposes, Christians are. That's why he says we are holy, and he also says we're the beloved. In other words, we're objects of God's love. Christians, saints today, are objects of God's love in ways no other people are. So no wonder he says that we're His prized possession. We're a unique gift. And as a result of that, we're to put on something. And this is a new wardrobe. We took off the old man of sin, the old wardrobe, the old clothes that he just mentioned in those prior verses. Now he says we're to put on something. Things we must do, though, ourselves. We're to clothe ourselves, envelop ourselves with certain qualities, certain characteristics. And there's an urgency to it. There's an urgency to it. We need to do it now. We need to put it on now. We mentioned last week in our lesson how we can come to Jesus just as I am, but we can't stay just as I am. It's imperative that we change. Well, part of this change is putting on this new wardrobe. But this is a wardrobe that has to do with moral attributes and moral qualities and moral characteristics. Why? Because we're His chosen people. We're a holy priesthood. Way back in Psalm 132, the psalmist alludes to this idea of God's people. In Psalms 132, the psalmist says in verse 9, and I think this is a great verse that we can use today. Verse 9 of Psalm 132 says, "Let your priest be clothed with righteousness." Righteousness. Today, we're a holy priesthood. We're to be clothed with righteousness. Sacred vestments. You know, priests had specific garments they were to wear, and we are too. We have specific garments, but they're garments of righteousness. When Paul wrote one of his prison epistles to the church at Ephesus, he dealt with this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. Paul wrote to the church there this, beginning in verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." As priests, we have new garments and a new wardrobe, and this is a wardrobe of righteousness. But it's not garments, it's not a wardrobe that we put on and off. It's a wardrobe we put on and leave on the rest of our lives. There's no putting on and off. We don't wear special garments to church services. When we wake up in the morning, we have them on. When we go to bed at night, we have them on. There's no on and off. They are part of us. They're part of us. We had to get rid of the filthy garments, as we talked about before. We had to get rid of those, but we had to put new ones on. Back in Romans chapter 13, Paul told the church there that was meeting in Rome about the need for this, to get rid of the filthy garments of worldliness. In Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 12, Paul wrote to them this. Paul says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the lust to fulfill, provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Walk properly. He says, have the right wardrobe on. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Put on His qualities, His attributes, His characteristics. Christ is not going to be involved in revelry or drunkenness or lewdness or lust or strife or envy. So why should you, since you are His priest? See, you're a holy priesthood. You're set apart. The world drinks, you're not supposed to. The world is involved in revelry, you're not supposed to. The world is involved in lewdness and lust, you're not supposed to. The world's involved in envy, you're not supposed to. You have a different wardrobe. It's very different. You have a new wardrobe because you're seeking those things that are above. Back in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You're looking to heavenly things now. So your garments are very, very different than the world. And the people and the world should see that we have a very different wardrobe. You know, we don't do the same things they do. We don't talk the same way they talk. We don't have some of the same feelings and emotions they have because we're priests. So we don't follow the ways of the world. In chapter 4, verse 4, James alludes to this in this verse when he says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Just like Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. I mean, there it's an either or choice. There is no, I'm going to be part of the world. I'm going to live kind of like the world and kind of like God. No, it's not an either. I mean, it's an either or. One or the other, in other words. You're either for him or against him. So put on a new wardrobe. Well, what does the new wardrobe look like? He says it begins with tender mercies or a heart of compassion. So this is one characteristic. This is one article of clothing. What does that mean, tender mercies, a heart of compassion? It's one that's sensitive to the needs of others. There's a deep caring for the problems and sufferings of others. It means someone that actually gets involved in other people's lives to help them. In 1 John chapter 3, John gives us a case to look at. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." In other words, following God is not just talking about following God. It's not just saying, I'm a Christian or I'm a disciple or I'm a saint. It's living it. Living it in the world, day in, day out, week after week, month after month, year after year. So a heart of compassion. This person has a desire to help in whatever way they can help. It may seem small, but there isn't anything that's small. So there's something we've put on. We've put on this heart of compassion, this tender mercy. The next article of clothing we put on is kindness. This person has the right kind of disposition. And of course, this disposition is seen in attitudes, it's seen in their actions, that's how they are. In other words, that's the kind of person they are. They're friendly, they're helpful, they have a smile, they're ready to help other people. They know how to walk in other people's shoes, I guess. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, I think we have an example of this. A couple of verses there. 2 Samuel chapter 9. First of all, if we read verse 1, this is how David is going to show kindness to someone. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He wants to know, is there anyone left, or are they all gone? Is there anyone left of Saul's house that I can show kindness to? So we skip down to the end of the chapter, verse 12. "Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet." That's how David showed kindness to him. This person ate at his table continually. So David sought out this descendant of Saul. He wanted to know if there was anyone left of Saul's family. He found someone. And to show kindness to him, that's how he showed kindness. This person was lame in both of his feet, obviously couldn't work. So David wanted him to eat at his table continually. Kindness. The third one, the third article of clothing is humility. Of course, this is the opposite of arrogance and pride. This is someone who's unpretentious. Solomon had a lot to say about pride and arrogance and humility in his Proverbs. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, the wise man said this in the second verse of the 11th chapter. He said, "When pride comes, then comes shame. but with the humble is wisdom. With the humble comes wisdom. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a spirit before a fall. It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride brings people down. Arrogance, being pretentious, those things are not articles of clothing for Christians. The humble person has the attitude of a servant. Just like Jesus, you know, in the first part of Philippians chapter 2, when Paul is telling about what kind of person a Christian is to be, he said, look at Jesus. He's the perfect example of what humility is to be like. We see Jesus' humility when he washed the disciples' feet. And in so many ways, we see how humble he was. He was a servant. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So you lift others up. The next article of clothing is meekness, or sometimes translated gentleness. This is would be the opposite of someone that's crude, rough and crude. So this person, this article of clothing, is considerate of other people and possesses self-control. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes about this in the third verse when he says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Aristotle said this about meekness. He said it's the right point between always angry and never angry. We're to get angry about things. Some things should make us very angry. Jesus got very angry, but it was always about sin. That's what Jesus got angry about, was sin. He got so angry at times that he threw people out of the temple, didn't he? Sin made him angry. It should make us angry, whether we see it on TV or, you know, wherever. It should make us angry. But we shouldn't always be angry either. So where's a good place? Right in the middle. Not always angry, and also never angry. In the middle. Well, then, we're to put on long-suffering or patience. This one is calm in the face of provocation, or long-tempered. Going once again to James, this time to James chapter 5. James writes this in verse 10. He says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. It says, look at those examples of the prophets. Look at Job. So the patient person endures with others, has a controlled strength, has the ability to put up with things, is not tolerant of sin, but is tolerant of people's opinions. We can never be tolerant of sin. Forgiveness. We're to be bearing with one another and forgiving one another. In other words, when someone comes to us asking for forgiveness, we need to be ready and willing to forgive. In Matthew 18, in an account in Jesus' life, Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's a bunch. And again, he's not talking about condoning sin. We never, ever do that. But when someone does ask for forgiveness, we need to be ready to forgive. Whenever they come to us, you know, with repentance, asking to forgive. Just like God is ready to forgive us. He doesn't forgive us until we're ready to repent and ask for forgiveness. But if we are ready to repent and ask for forgiveness, then He does forgive. And then He says, back in our text, finally, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of forgiveness. This, in other words, this is what holds it all together. You've put on all these various garments. You've put on tender mercies, and you've put on another article of kindness, and you have all these things on, but they need to be bound together, belted on. They need to be tied on. And the last article that you do that ties it all together, he says, is love. It's what holds it all together. It unites it together. Which, of course, is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses. Love is what ties it all together. And so these are the garments that he says we're to wear every day. We don't just wear them on Sunday morning. We wear them Monday morning and Wednesday evening and Friday afternoon and whenever. It's the new wardrobe of the new man. Colossians talks so much about the new man. You know, we're raised with Christ, verse 1. We seek those things that are above. We set our mind on those things, not on things on the earth. We put off all of those things. We get rid of all of those things. And once we do, then we put on something new. It is a new wardrobe. It's not the wardrobe of the world. You know, those articles of clothing we talked about, those are not articles in the world by any means. See, we're priests and we're going to stand out because we have different articles of clothing on. They don't look like the articles, the garments that the people in the world look like. And then one day, you might say we get a whole new set of clothes because we get a whole new body. A redeemed body, a glorified body, an eternal body, incorruptible body. One that will live forever in heaven. But first, as we've mentioned many times in this study of Colossians, we must first put on Christ in baptism. That's where it all begins. You know, our faith has led us to repent and confess His name, and then we what? We put Christ on in baptism. Why? Because that's where we come in contact with His blood. That's where sins are washed away. We're risen a new man. Romans 6, 3 and 4. We come up out of the waters of baptism a new creature. And therefore we have a new life. And therefore we start putting on compassion and kindness and the new wardrobe. Getting rid of the old wardrobe, putting on the new. The invitation is yours. If there is a need for you to respond to that wonderful gospel message, then we want you to do that as we stand and sing this next song. Let's stand.